So, are you thinking of making a career change? You might want to consider getting into the building trades. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Great to have back our regular guest, Chad Spate, with us. He owns Chad's Design Build in Monona and Madison. Chad, good to see you.
Thanks, Larry. Always great to be here.
Yeah, and also great to see back John Stefani, construction and remodeling instructor at Madison College. John, thank you for coming by.
An absolute pleasure, Larry.
So, as you listen to these two experts talk, what would you like to know about finding a job in the trades, perhaps? You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And, of course, we'll be taking your home improvement questions as we move along. But, Chad, why is there a problem finding workers in the trades?
Well, Larry, it's been a long time coming, I think. There are a variety of factors. Fortunately, in the Madison area, we have a great remodeling program. So at least if you want to learn about this, you can. But in many communities, the programs have shut down. Many high schools don't have shop classes anymore where you can learn these trades. So one of the problems has been just the lack of opportunities to learn these skills formally. But then I think there's a perception that if you want to make a good living, you have to go and get a 4-year college degree and go out and do whatever it is you end up doing. And I certainly took that path. I'm an Ivy League graduate with a master's in sociology from the UW here. That's why I came to town to get a PhD. And I ended up remodeling homes, starting to do that 27 years ago. And then, the rest is history. So my own personal story is not unlike that of many remodelers in the Madison area, the people that are overeducated in other things and then had a passion for building and got into it. But what isn't told is that, there are these great opportunities that I and many others could have pursued right out of high school to have a very fulfilling career. And I was a history teacher for a while before I moved to Madison. And, what I loved about remodeling, and I think most people will tell you this who are in the trades, it's great. Every day you can stand back and look at what you've accomplished.
Yeah.
For most of us, the accomplishment is a long-term thing. You reflect back on years and,
Or maybe you hear from a former student or two.
Right.
10 years later.
Sure.
Something like that.
With remodeling every day, whether you're a plumber, an electrician, a designer, a project manager, a field laborer, a carpenter, you name the specific task or skill level, and there is a high degree of daily satisfaction potentially there. If you like doing things with your hands in particular, but you like, systems or, building things, tearing things apart. So, they're just endless opportunities, but it's getting people to realize that this is an option and it's a viable, middle class, it's a solid career.
And not having enough. It's got to affect your business and also your customers.
Correct. When we have a job listing, typically for almost any position in our company, but particularly for a carpenter or a what we call a lead carpenter, a supervisor carpenter on a job site, we go months, sifting through a few applicants every week, waiting to see one or two that might be qualified.
Yeah.
It's just...
It's tough. Yeah. And John, let me turn to you for a minute. What kind of people would be successful working in the building trades? Ellen in Cedarburg called, and she's in her 60s, but she's in good shape, and she wondered if there's opportunities for someone of her age.
Absolutely, there is. Our program right now, we have typically 30-plus students, and everybody would think that we have mostly 18 to 20-year-olds, but it's not true anymore. We have a wide variety of people, and I have a lot of people who are coming back who I we like to consider as returning adults who are retraining. They oftentimes have a degree in something else. I love to tell the story of a young woman who came through the program. She had her master's in accounting and had been an accountant for several years, and she realized she hated what she did. She loved to do things with her hands. She did knitting. She did a lot of things. She started out in a night class, a non-credit night class, where I met her, and I'm like, have you thought about our program? She took our program, and she is an absolute rock star. She gets it done. She loves what she does. She just loves coming to work every day. She loves building stuff. And it's like what Chad said, you know, at the end of the day, she stands back and she looks at what she did. And she, I don't know how many times she's thanked us over the years. And we're like, you did it. You know. And so we get a lot of returning adults. I actually have another interesting demographic of fathers who are stay-at-home dads. Who the kids are a little bit older now and off of school, and they're coming back and they're getting retrained, and they have various degrees or various things going on. It's a lot of interesting dynamics. And we also do have the 18 to 20 year olds coming in, and in most cases they've had a shop class in their high school, so we often see the same students from the same schools. But there are a lot of schools that have done away with shop classes, usually for budgetary reasons. Yeah. And I understand it and I get it, but it's a problem. Wall Street Journal, Forbes magazine have actually specifically talked about the lack of tradespeople and how it actually is a drag on the economy right now. All this work that's out there and it can't be done, as Chad has expressed. There's not enough people to do the work, and it's just getting worse and worse.
How much, you know, I'm sure what's running through a lot of people's minds is, well, what kind of income could I expect? I imagine it depends on the trade.
It does, but that's an excellent question. It's another, Chad and I were talking about this earlier, idea that needs to be changed. It's a great living. My graduates here in the Madison area are starting jobs with a one-year diploma degree at $20-plus dollars an hour in many cases. And the opportunity from there is enormous. That's just a starting wage. You can go in so many paths and so many directions. You can work your way to being a lead carpenter or a project manager or even run your own company. Just in carpentry, starting at 20, working your way up from there, you can get into electrical, you can get into steam fitting. In steam fitting, after your five-year apprenticeship, you're making $80,000 a year just as a journey worker.
So that's impressive. What's the program like at Madison College?
Well, we're a one-year diploma. So people who, you know, like the returning father I was talking about, who think, I think I want to do this. You know, I want to go and get trained. I think this is what I want to do. They come and they take our program. It's two semesters long. And we teach them everything soup to nuts. Hands-on framing, hands-on exterior finishes, interior finishes, cabinet, you know, installing cabinetry, all that stuff. We also teach them basic estimating skills. And, you know, people like Chad will come in at the program and sit in on the class here and there to, you know, help us keep it real. But we have a lot of other, we have a class on plan, site, and form work. You know, we have a class on just on how to use the tools safely. We have an OSHA class. They get their OSHA card when they're done with us. We have a codes and regulations class that's taught by a city inspector, and they can get their license after they finish that class. So there's a lot of things that we can give them to make them very successful. And so when Chad gets someone, is looking for a position, he talks to us. If it's a graduate of our program, he knows that they're most likely going to stay in this, because there might be people coming off the street who think they want to do this. And after 2 weeks, they go, okay, this isn't for me. Where if you reach out to one of the programs, and it's ours isn't the only program. They're all over the state. Green Bay, La Crosse, all the technical colleges have a construction program. And you can reach out to them and find employees. And if they've graduated the program and have a good grade, you know they're going to be a good worker and they're into it.
Jory emailed to say that if someone thinks they might be interested in the building trades, volunteering on a Habitat for Humanity build site is a great way to get a small taste of what it's like.
Absolutely. We do some stuff with Habitat as well. And it is a great taste. And it really will give you a sense. Just getting dipping your toe in, they're good at, you know, gathering you in and helping you to learn how to do basic stuff. And it is very rewarding and very fulfilling.
Would any of the classes be appropriate for a homeowner who just wanted to be a little handier?
Well, it turns out we've put put up some night classes, some non-credit night classes. In fact, we just put up one this starting semester called, we're literally calling it Using Power Tools to Make Stuff, where someone who, and we're, what we're trying to do is, so one of the problems we have, Larry, is getting people in our door.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to show the community, hey, maybe you've thought about this, you know, maybe you want to give this a try. Come and take this class. We'll teach you how to use a circular saw safely, a jigsaw, a table saw, a miter saw, and you'll build stuff. You build a sawhorse, you build things. And you may walk out of this going, this is great. I want to do more of this. Then we'll show them, well, here's our program. You can come and take our program and, you know, get a new career. And it's a, it could be a great way to give it a try.
What about costs? I'm, obviously, there's tuition and that sort of thing.
You bet. So for our program, it's roughly $130 to $150 a credit. You can walk out of our program after spending about $6,000, roughly.
That's really not...
That's very affordable. Very affordable.
I'm looking now with a junior in high school as a daughter. I'm looking at the cost of tuition for college and... I haven't yet to I've yet to see $6,000. Some of
you might make it through a one semester that way.
10 times that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. Another great thing is we've had some students come and take our program and learn how to build and then go on to college. And one young woman in particular, she came and did our program. And now she's going and studying engineer at the University of Maine. And she did amazing. You know, she was great, and she's going to be that much better of an engineer because she spent a year learning how things go together. And as Chad will tell you, it's one thing to know engineering as, you know, as a study, but when you've actually built things, it changes the way you look at things. So, you know, that's another way to do this is you come and do our program and then go to college. And I was talking to Chad earlier, too, about there's a lot of paths in construction. You can start out, you know, take our program or not. You can just go to work for someone, start out as a laborer carpenter, work your way to a support carpenter, maybe eventually in time, work your way to a lead carpenter, project manager. And then you might look and, you know, architecture is interesting to me. I actually know some guys who were building for 10 or 15 years, went back to architecture school and they're excellent designers. You can go to work for all the different side trades. There's so many directions and so many different paths forward. You can own your own business if that's something that sounds interesting to you. So many different ways you can go.
I was, you know, the other day I was getting new tires put on my car, and I'm in the shop, in the waiting room watching a TV show, and I was thinking about this program because it was one of these home improvement shows with a woman who was remodeling houses and so forth. So I sat and watched that for a couple hours, and I got to thinking, I wonder if this has any impact on creating interest among other people. Have you seen anything like that at all, Chad? Or
yeah, well, that's a great question, Larry, because we were talking just before the show about how so many of these like house flipping shows and things like that are actually driving people to come into the program at Madison College and in other programs. And certainly we've had people apply that, you know, one of their experiences was renovating their own home. I mean, and that as a teenager, I renovated the family home. That's how I got started in this business. So, it, you know, that has to be a big motivator right now because there's so many of these shows. Now, I can say that personally as someone in the profession, I'm not a big fan of those shows. And
John,
we were talking earlier about how, you know, they have a video that they've shown their students where you kind of back up on this, you pull out, zoom out from the scene where you think they're remodeling a home, and it turns out it's just a set.
Yeah,
you know, it's like these are shows; they're not necessarily actual renovation. I'm one of those old school people. I love this old house.
Oh, that's a show. A classic.
You know, that's a show I can watch.
Required reading.
Talking today with Chad Spade, who owns Chad's Design Build, and John Stefani, a construction and remodeling instructor at Madison College. Great to have them with us. We've talking, and we'll continue to talk a bit about career opportunities in the remodeling industry, but we'll also take your remodeling questions as well. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Tyler Ditter, our engineer today, Jill Nadeau, our producer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at home improvement issues and also at career opportunities in the remodeling industry today with Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build, John Stefani, construction and remodeling instructor at Madison College. It's great to have both of them with us. One open line at 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. And before we go to the phones, just, John, where can people find out more about, like, your program or other programs that may be available around the state?
Excellent question. Anywhere in the state, the technical colleges cover every municipality. And you can start at your own technical college, wherever it might be. It might be Indian Head. It might be Mid-State. And not every not everyone has operating construction remodeling program, but many do. And you can look into it there and check out that program, go talk to the instructors. And some of them have some excellent programs. The program in Green Bay does a wonderful job. I know I've met those guys and talked to them. In La Crosse, they've actually built passive houses, which is like a super insulated house. So there are some great programs out there. Going to our website, Madison Area Technical College, and going to careers and programs and scrolling through and finding the construction remodeling program gives you tons of information, average starting wages, how to sign up, what the classes look like, and will lead you to us.
Well, let's take some calls. Cole in Stevens Point, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Cole.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I was just wondering if your guest could recommend, like, must-have power tools for someone who wants to renovate their own home or just do projects around the house.
Sure. Chad?
Yeah, great question. So, well, one of the biggest innovations that has come along during my lifetime in this business for 27 years here would be the lithium battery and what that has done to create powerful cordless tools from a screw gun or screwdriver and drill to, you know, circular saws and reciprocating saws and almost any power tool that we used to plug in, you can now operate off of a battery. And that creates a much potentially safer situation where you're not having to, you know, worry about getting tangled up in your cord. And it just makes it easier to take your tool wherever you need to use it. Certainly the cordless drills, often you can buy a combo drill set. There are also some larger combo packs that Makita and some of the other companies put out that have, you know, a reciprocating saw, a circular saw, a couple of drills. Anything you would add to that, John?
If people have no tool experience at all, I'll say a circular saw is great, but it can be it's a tool that needs some training. If people are just starting out, I'll say start with a cordless drill, you know, with multiple drivers and a jigsaw. Because you can get different kinds of blades for a jigsaw. You can get a steel cutting blade. You can get a wood cutting blade. And you can do most of the cuts we do professionally with that. And so the jigsaw will cut what you need. The screw gun will install what you need. So, yeah, screw guns, jigsaws, and working your way into a circular saw. If you're going to remodel, of course, reciprocating saw or what some would call a Sawzall will become kind of a must. And, yeah, and sticking with the better brand names is always key. So Makita, Milwaukee, DeWalt. You're going to do well with those.
All right. Thanks, Cole, for calling. Appreciate it. Melissa in Menominee Falls, your turn. Hi, Melissa.
Hi. First of all, I just want to say thank you. Like, my dad, my uncles, they're all so handy, and I wish I was, and I didn't even know that there was, like, a class I could take to get a little more handy. So thank you. But my question is we want to add a bathroom, like, to a upstairs area that there's no room there right now. It's completely outside. So we really need someone who's a professional. Where is the best place for me to go to find reputable people? You hear so many stories about people being left with unfinished products and money being taken. Where do I go to find the good guys who will get it done?
Well, Melissa, thanks for the call. That's a great question. So I certainly have to say one place to go would be the National Association of the Remodeling Industry. I'm not sure if there's a chapter in the Menominee Falls area, but if you just go onto their national website, you can put in your zip code and it will pull up members that are in the vicinity that you might be able to contact. And NARI has a pretty strict code of ethics, so you know, that's something that sets our association apart. There's also the Better Business Bureau, which is a reputable check on competent contractors. As a practical matter, you're probably going to have to look into either hiring a design build firm or possibly an architect or designer to start the process of conceptualizing how this could happen. Because it's not a simple thing to add a room, and particularly a bathroom. And so you're going to want to find someone that can help you to both visualize and understand the practical limitations, and, of course, then cost.
Yeah. Yep. So there you go, Melissa. So NARI, if you type in N-A-R-I, will that come up?
Yes, NARI.org. Yep.
All right. There we go, Melissa. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Mary in Pewaukee next. Mary, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Two thumbs up to trade schools. And I wanted to ask about what else we might be able to do, tips or suggestions. We own a residence that we rent out. Had no idea until we had a person living there that had allergies that we had a mold problem. They're in there now getting rid of the mold. I bought a dehumidifier that they said put it in after the mold is removed. And somebody mentioned a radon pump, what that might have to do with mold, and then any other tips or suggestions of what we can do as the owners that are very happy we found this now and not later. And we have a plumbing problem, so I've got someone coming out for that.
All right.
Thanks for the call, Mary. So mold is a persistent problem, and mold can happen anywhere because you basically need three things for mold. Of course, moisture is the first thing, and there are a lot of potential sources of moisture in your home. And so dehumidification is certainly one way to deal with that, and I want to return to that topic. But then, of course, you've also got to have a medium for mold to grow on, and often that's like a cellulose or wood or paper product, and oxygen. So when you have those three things, you can have mold. So any of us could change the variables in our living space and suddenly have a mold problem. It's not like there's necessarily a deficiency with your home. That said, often we find that high levels of moisture can be mitigated. And dehumidification is sometimes the last resort, but if you can figure out how to stop that humidity from coming into the home, that will also help you, and it will keep down your power bill from having to run that dehumidifier. So if you have a lot of house plants, if you have pets,
shower.
Yep, the shower without ventilation at the source.
Without good ventilation.
Correct. Yes, I mean that. Often putting in a good fan that will potentially run continuously or be on a humidistat. It'll kick on and run every time the humidity rises. That will be potentially the most effective way if you have a source that is intermittent, causing that higher humidity. Was the humidity or was the mold in a particular place? We may have lost.
Oh, okay. I guess we lost her, yeah.
But hopefully those are helpful comments on that.
One thing I've seen, too, is people don't even realize that they'll have a humidifier in their furnace and not even know it's there. And sometimes it'll be cranked up and they're not even aware of it. Absolutely. So I've actually solved that problem for people by just going down and shutting off the humidifier that was automatically installed in their furnace.
Yeah.
She also talked about a radon pipe. And
yep. So, and that's another important thing to always think about because of course, radon is a potential problem in any home, but it's really just whether or not you have radon coming out of the ground beneath your structure that will determine whether or not it's a problem. So you have to test for it to know if you have it. But the radon fan essentially pulls air out from under the foundation of a home. And if you have a sump pump, it'll be connected to the sump pit. And so it's very effective at dehumidifying your sump system. And so even though you might not have a radon problem, whether you do or don't, a radon fan will help dehumidify the air under your slab. So that's a very helpful way to keep the home a little bit healthier.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you very much for that question. Tom in Madison has something for us. Hi, Tom.
Hey, good morning. My wife and I are at the point where we need to start replacing some windows in a house, our house. It's a mid-60s house. What do we look for when we start getting people out there? What do we need to ask for? And what should we not look for?
Thanks for the call, Tom. So windows, there's a wide range of quality, both in the product and then in the installation. Nowadays you're always going to have a double pane, often a sealed, often argon-filled pane of glass that is probably going to have an R value of about 3.5 or 4. So that's going to be a given. The material of the window itself will be one of the things you'll have to decide. Fiberglass has become the leading material for windows and even for doors. It can look like wood, but it is a very stable material. It is impervious to water damage and rot. It can be painted. It can be often factory stained to look like wood. Very versatile. It can be repaired, and it doesn't move around a lot. Unlike vinyl, which it is often confused with, vinyl moves around a lot when the temperature changes, and vinyl cannot be very effectively painted or repaired. So the old traditional material for windows would be wood. And what we've often seen are in a quality wood window, and there are many of them out there, would be an aluminum cladding on the exterior of that product with a wood interior. So that would be another way to go. The other thing I'll mention is that the hardware on the windows will be a big differentiator between brands of windows, and also when you look at a given line of windows, if they have different levels of quality and architectural features, often the hardware becomes much more durable and easy to operate as you go up in price. So those are most of the things. There are different specialty glasses that can be incorporated into windows. Of course, there are triple pane windows that some manufacturers offer. It's a way to get a little bit of extra R value, but they can be heavier.
And I think one of the points, and I'm not sure that you mentioned it, but you may have, is the installation and the actual, that's where, isn't that, John? Well, I'll turn to you for a minute.
Absolutely.
Properly installed.
You can get a mid-grade window or even a lower-grade window, but if it's installed very, very well, you have a good product. And conversely, you can get a Cadillac window, and if it's not installed correctly so that things are flashed and the water isn't getting in, that window will deteriorate very quickly. So install is a large part of the program. Windows are like, they're like automotive in the sense that there's so many brand names and so many different features and things. You know, we can't say you need to get this or that. It really depends. But like Chad mentioned, the price point will often tell you a lot. Mm-hmm. And all vinyl windows are usually the least expensive, and you get what you pay for often. Yeah. But the install is a key thing. And the installer should be, pulling the old window out carefully and putting the new one in and flashing things. That means putting in metal flashings and things so that the water is always finding its way out and down. So looking for careful work is the key. And that's going back to, again, NARI or other, or finding a contractor that knows what they're doing, you know, what you can trust.
Tom, thank you so much. Deb in La Crosse, it's your turn now. Hi, Deb.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to add a different angle, although confirming everything that your guests have said about tech schools. I went to tech school. My brother went to tech school back in the day when they were called dummy schools behind your back. But also as regarding the construction and the trades, I grew up, now it's been three generations, my dad heavy equipment, brother master plumber, fitter, welder, cement working in the nephews now. There is another angle. You make good money, but you're outside. You have to be able to weather the weather. You have to be able to recognize that your health is going to take a toll. I grew up with a dad that was gone Monday through Friday because he had to drive 7 hours to get to a job. So, yes, and you make the big money, but you might have to take some of that salary and pay for motels, for your meals, getting off of work, huge thing. Most of the activities that us kids were involved in, my dad missed. So there is a downside, like with everything, and I just wanted to bring that up because I was kind of getting the impression of a little bit of rose-colored glasses. But like every job, there is a side that it still is called a job for a reason.
Yeah, that's right, Deb. Well, John, respond from you.
Oh, sure, Deb, and you're absolutely correct. There's every job, every single job out there has its downsides, for sure. One of the first things people will talk about in this is the physicality of it. And if you don't take good care of yourself, you'll wear your body out. And you'll say, oh, well, if you're in the trades, by the time you're 60, you're going to be broken down and not able to move anymore. And I say, no, that's not necessarily true. You have to take good care of yourself. Personally, I do yoga regularly, and it keeps me flexible and keeps me moving and keeps me in good shape. But, we're on our knees a lot. So you do need to take good care of yourself if you're going to do this. And for some people, that physicality may be a reason they won't go into because they might have body issues. I'm guessing that your father was a commercial carpenter because...
Oh, no. He was a heavy equipment operator.
Yeah, they do tend to... they have to travel farther, and that is true. My older brother is also a carpenter, and he did commercial work, and he did travel a lot more for that work. Typically, the contractors, though, when I've done that work, they will pay for your lodging and your meals. That's what's done today anyway. Mm-hmm. But that said, I talked about steam fitters earlier and how they make good money. But steam fitters, those jobs are farther away often, so you do have to travel for those. So it's true. There might be some travel involved. For myself, personally, I've lived in the Madison area, and I was a carpenter a project manager for many years before taking a job. And I was always home every night. And so I didn't have any issues along that way. So if that's an issue for someone, they should definitely look to seeing if they can find a local job. It may not pay quite as well, but you'll be at home at night. So it's true. Those are all very valid things. But there's ways to you'll want to think about that when you look at the job.
And I would just add that everything that has been said is true. Excuse me. And it's also true that for the local positions in the trades, the excellent compensation applies to those as well. Mm-hmm. And the shortage of people in these positions that are local positions where you pretty much get up every day and you're working within
a few miles.
10, 15 miles of town, there are a lot of those jobs out there. But I know some remodeling companies that, for example, that are competitors of mine that do work all over Dane County. And I've had potential employees come and say, how far out are your jobs? I don't want to drive 40 miles to my job. And that's a legitimate question. So part of it, as an employee or a potential employee of a firm, is to ask those questions.
Yeah, that makes really good sense. And Chris and Adams had also wanted to remind people that they need to take care of themselves physically, keep in shape, as John was talking about there a little bit, and just be careful and take precautions. Safety is always first. David emailed that he was in MATC construction and remodeling program a decade ago, and he says, hi, John. You also work with Chad's as a homeowner. Hi, Chad. He says the program at Madison at MATC is phenomenal for just about anybody. For him, it fed his passion for building and woodworking and gives him many opportunities for a second career, like a building inspector or a production manager in the building trades.
Hi, David.
Yeah, hey, David.
So there you go. And, long as we're on this, Andy emailed that he's thrilled that you started the conversation today by talking about commenting that you have a bachelor's and master's degree. So he says, thank you for encouraging education in any field. No reason a person can't have a college degree and work in a trade. And he found it tragic that too many in America see education only as a means to fill employment vacancies.
Well, I agree with that comment 100%. And I think our point, I think more of us need a good liberal arts education on the one hand, and staying engaged with the world and the issues that affect all of us, absolutely. But if you believe that a fulfilling career requires a particular educational path, that's the only thing that we're trying to point out. That, you know, some kids are not wanting to go to UW-Madison, for example,
yeah.
You know, which is a phenomenal institution for the kids that want to take advantage of those opportunities. There are other places to go, and you can have just as fulfilling a career. But then hopefully you also are going to be learning about things outside of your career. Absolutely. I mean, most of my carpenters have a four-year college education, but that wasn't a requirement for their job. So that's a great point. Thank you for that.
Victor in Appleton emailed that he's been fabricating, welding, and CNC machining for the last 12 years. Recently started looking for a change. He called on an open carpenter position, offered a helper position for $15 an hour. Do you have any advice for someone already in the trades who might want to make a switch? John?
Excellent question. And I do see these folks come through as well. People who have been in other trades in other areas, and they're actually usually our best students because they already have a basic sense of what we call a mechanic skill, and that doesn't mean cars. Mm-hmm. When you're a good mechanic, that means you're good at putting a square peg in a square hole. You see how things can go together, and some people will say, well, you know, that's genetics, or that's something you learned, or that I got that from my dad, or it's... And it's like, no, there's one thing I've learned over the years, is that it's not an XXXY chromosomal thing. It's not... It's most cases, people have the ability, they just don't know it, and they just need experience. So
Victor's in Appleton.
Yeah. So getting that experience, he already has that. So he could come and, like, take our program, for instance, or take another program like that, get the basic training. And I would even recommend, in his case, he could probably go right out and start to work for someone. The safety aspect is the thing, because construction is a little more of a dangerous profession. So knowing how to use the tools right. And if he's not in an area where he could go to a technical college, finding the right employer, an employer who is willing to train, you know, someone like Chad, honestly, an employer who's willing to take the time to train you as you go, finding that employer, he'll do great. I guarantee it already.
We'll take some more calls here in just a minute. A reminder that we're talking home improvement and also spent quite a bit of time talking about career opportunities in the remodeling industry with our two guests, Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build of Monona and Madison, John Stefani, construction and remodeling instructor at Madison College. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Looking at all kinds of home improvement issues and talking career opportunities in remodeling with our two guests today, Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build, John Stefani of Madison College, where he is a construction and remodeling instructor. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining in. Before we go back to the phones, and Curtin Elkhorn, I believe, is up next. But John, I know you wanted to stress that women and minorities are more than welcome and encouraged, strongly encouraged to look at this area.
Absolutely. We're definitely seeing an uptick in both of those, and it's absolutely needed. So there's all these jobs out there, and we need to find those demographics that maybe are a little underemployed right now, or have people just think outside the box. And we've got 5 women in our program this year. We've had as many as 7 in our program at any time. And 2 of the instructors in our program are women, Sandy Thistle and Ellie Bereni, and they're both rock star carpenters. They're really excellent. They love what they do. So a woman in trades is a wonderful thing. There are so many pros to it. You do not have to be a man by any stretch. That is a total misconception. The most important muscles that you have as a carpenter, like say, is your brain.
Yeah.
And being good at that stuff does not require you to be a male. And also, people of color are highly recommended. Some of the best students I've had over the last couple of years are African Americans, Hmongs, Latino. All of them ready to work, and we've been able to find them work. And there's good work opportunity there for people of color.
Is there, just in general, the job opportunities must be pretty good?
It's amazing. It's crazy. We were actually pulling up some statistics. There are currently 271 job openings in the greater Madison area, in construction as a whole, across the whole spectrum. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. It's the beautiful thing about it. Another thing we do in the summer, we started working with the Department of Corrections and working with some of the guys who are going to be getting out in a year or two, and we're giving them training because commercial construction is willing to hire these Department of Corrections guys when they get out and give them a good paying job. And the studies have been done that they're not going to come back to jail if they've got a good, solid job. So we're going into our 3rd year of working with that, and we've had many employers happily take these guys, some of the bigger players in the area. They're a great fit for commercial. So we're really working hard to branch out and find other demographics that might be able to give the trades a try. And like I say, people of color, women, we highly encourage them to apply, and they'll be successful if they want to do it.
Now we'll go to Kurt in Elkhorn. And Kurt, thank you for waiting. Hi.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Hi.
When I've dealt with contractors, I was born and raised in Chicago, and in Chicago, you don't trust too many people. In Wisconsin, I found people are very trustful. And when I've had contractors come, I've had bad experiences. And what I came up with was what I call the Chicago contract. And that means, you know, when you sign a contract with a contractor, they ask for 50% down. You give it to them. Ask them to put in every kind of delay that they can think of. Because I've had fishing season, deer season, snowmobile season, got to take my wife out season, and these people don't show up to finish my house. So I say, okay, add all those things in and give me a date. And on that date, my house will be done, period. And if it's not, in the first 7 days, I keep 10% of the total, and you don't get paid that 10% because my house isn't finished. And if it goes another 7 days, it's the same thing. I have the contractor sign it, and what I have found is because I've gone through the Better Business Bureau and all these places that, you know, recommend people. When you say you have it done by this date or I'm taking money out of your pocket, the ones that know they can't do that or don't have the skills, they won't take the job.
Oh, wow.
Well, great, great call. I think that the gist of what you're saying is probably correct. And if you have a reputable contractor who is committed to doing the project on time and on budget, you're simply not going to have these issues. And the sorts of issues that you're raising aren't going to be a problem for us. you know, there are things that come up on certain jobs that do cause legitimate delays, but there are many things that shouldn't cause delays. You know, and good planning is something that should be happening with a good contractor. So, you know, there are also laws in the state of Wisconsin that require every contract to state a start date and a finish date. And, you know, as a consumer, you can file a complaint if a contractor has not either stipulated that in their contract or lived up to the commitments that they've made. So, you know, the good thing, I think, generally is that in Wisconsin, we don't tend to run to court with every disagreement we have. You know, we do tend to, for those of us that are, you know, committed to doing things properly by our customers, you know, we can tend to resolve things. But you're right. I mean, there are bad actors out there, and that's why we have laws. So,
thank you, Kurt. Appreciate it. Shane in Eau Claire, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Shane. Whoa, we lost Shane. I'm sorry. Let's go to Alexis in Madison.
Hi. My question relates to a new construction basement, unfinished, part of a duplex. It was built in 2016. It backs up to a greenway, and I know the soil has become quite saturated the last few years. My concern is that I have mold in the basement. I've been running a portable dehumidifier with a pump, 70 pints, and it's going 24/7. I do have it set like at 40% to 30% humidity. I do have some pallets, like about one third to a quarter of the basement walls, have pallets with boxes on top that have very little gap. And I also have a garage which has sheetrock in it, but it's unpainted, but doesn't have any venting, that also has mold. The other part of the basement is it has an egress well with a window but no screen, and it has a lid which is new as of spring of 2019, but the mold's been an issue before that. What should I look at? Is this something to do with the construction, the conditions?
So this is a brand new home, you're saying?
Yes, it's new construction as of 2016. We moved in 2017.
Okay. John, you want to comment?
This is an interesting problem, and it's not the first time I've heard this. So as Chad mentioned earlier, there is excessive moisture. And so what you've got to do is figure out the cause of that, and that can be very sticky. There are so many. I once looked at a house where they had a similar, very similar situation, and we were poking around, and we found a back room where they had brought in all their cordwood for the fireplace. And they had a cord and a half of wood stored up there. And when they brought the wood in, after they'd cut it, and it's wet. And so it gives off a ton of moisture. And once they removed all the cordwood out of the house, the moisture problem was gone. It can be bulk water. Can be a grading issue sometimes on the exterior where there's an area where the water gets through the foundation via capillary action and finds its way in. There are so many different opportunities. Well, like I said earlier, too, where your furnace might, a lot of times, older HVAC installers, when they put a furnace in, they automatically put a humidifier on and they turn it up. And I've seen cases where just going in and shutting off that humidifier took care of the problem. So identifying the source of the moisture is the key, and it can be so many different things. I've seen houses where they didn't have a ventilation fan for their cooktop. And as Chad was mentioning earlier, too, if you take constant showers and you don't have ventilation for your showers, another source. So finding the source of the moisture is the key. So using a dehumidifier is great, but that's solving the symptom and not the problem.
And it's not the, well, it's a relatively new house, but it should have, I mean, you know, all new houses are, you know, usually when they're first constructed, there's a lot of extra moisture just in the building materials themselves.
That's a great point, Larry. Though I would also add that because the moisture tends to be in the basement for this, you know, particular caller, and again, it's not an unusual place, basements are wet.
Yeah.
But a lot of that moisture, say, in new construction is coming from the wood, the drywall, the paint, and that's all up above the basement level.
Yeah.
And so the other thing that I wanted to add to this conversation is that that little portable dehumidifier is not often adequate for some situations. And it could be that there's groundwater or something like that that you're not going to be able to mitigate against. So you might want to look at putting in a whole house dehumidifier, which is a higher efficiency appliance. It's going to pull out a lot more water at a lower cost to operate. And maybe that will help with this particular situation if there's no other way to get the water away from the structure.
Yeah. So a few things to think about there, Alexis. Appreciate your call very much. John, the by the way, what's the address, the email, or the website address for Madison College?
It's a simple one. It's madisoncollege.edu.
And Chad, what about your business?
Well, we are chadsdesignbuild.com. But I also just wanted to add quickly that the NARI Expo is coming up in 2 weeks. And if you go to NARIExpo.com, we're going to be talking about the issues that we were talking about today.
Yeah.
Particularly job training and job career opportunities in the construction trade.
And we'll talk some more about that expo as well. We're going to take a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. Then we'll be back for your questions. Stay with us. Taking a look at home improvements, and, you know, you may have something that you need to improve around your house. You can call in with that. We can also talk about career opportunities in the remodeling industry with our two guests today, Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build in Madison, Monona, John Stefani, construction and remodeling instructor at Madison College. I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. John in Toma has a question for you guys, so let's go there, or a comment at least. John, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. How are you guys doing? I had a comment. I grew up learning how to do construction and building through getting jobs when I was young. I think my first job was a concrete job, mason tender. Got hired as a mason tender when I was like 16 years old, still in high school. And went up through and got different jobs through different contractors and pretty much became a jack of all trades. He would move me around. And he was building at the time in Wisconsin Rapids area. He was building duplexes. And, you know, so he was building a lot of them at a time. And every day there was something different. Usually in the morning we'd do the concrete work. And then, you know, and then in the wintertime he'd build a whole bunch of them in the summer. And then in the wintertime we'd have the shell so we could insulate and work inside and do wiring and insulation and all the stuff that he needed to do inside. He was pretty smart about that. I learned how to do all that stuff. Anyway, now, you know, I could have been a handyman or whatever. I figure, you know, and it helped me out later on in life that I could do things around my own home, and it basically saved me money because I could do it myself because I learned it before from the jobs that I've done. And now, I still enjoy building things, and I'm building a large-scale radio-controlled airplane out of wood. It's about like an 8-foot wingspan on it.
Oh, man, that sounds great. Well, there's a comment about on-the-job training, John.
True. I have to admit, though, we don't generally train on building radio control model airplanes.
That's pretty
not
cool,
in our
though.
Curriculum. But, you know, you could take those skills in a lot of different directions, for sure. He's right in a sense that once you've learned these skills, you'll have them for the rest of your life. And even if you do decide to go in another direction, there's a lot of things and a lot of directions you can go. We were talking at the break about solar install, solar electrical panel install is a direction that you could go. You could come and you could learn to be a carpenter and go out and then go and learn how to do installs for solar panels. There's, and he's right in a sense that there's always something different every day. You're doing different things. You're doing different things. You know, it's, there's a lot of opportunity.
Yeah. John, thanks. Appreciate the call. Ellen, or Eileen, I'm sorry, in Phillips up next. Hi, Eileen.
Okay, the name is Irene, but thank you very much, Larry, and good afternoon to you all.
Hi.
I own a two-story vinyl-sided home, and my question is, can this home be pressure washed from the ground looking upwards towards the second floor? I've been told that it should, the water should be coming from downwards so it doesn't get behind the vinyl. Can you help me with that?
Yes, thank you for the call. That the advice you have been given is good advice, because vinyl siding and really anything that is put on the exterior of a building is designed to protect what's behind it and to allow water to come out. And so we rely on gravity for that, and there are often weep holes kind of that are down below. And if you look at a vinyl side at home, you can often see little holes in that underside of the vinyl where the water, rather than getting trapped, will be able to drip out. And if you take a pressure washer and you spray at a slightly upward angle, you will be driving water right into the house or into that layer that's behind the vinyl. And that could cause some damage. So
yeah,
the advice is good. You should
follow it.
Yeah, slightly down angle. And, you know, I would, if you have a two-story home, I mean, it's probably something that is, there are some people that could do it safely who know, you know, how to use ladders well. And but it's definitely a dangerous task. So be careful.
Be careful. Thanks, Irene. Lee in Ashland, your turn. Hi, Lee.
Hi. A little offshoot of the trades that never gets mentioned is the electronic security and fire protection industry. There's great work. You're very rarely ever laid off. You get uniforms, you get a vehicle, you get good benefits, and training. It's never mentioned. It's always kind of out there in the bushes, but...
There it is. Yeah, Lee, thank you. John, a comment.
Oh, he's absolutely right. And so we've been talking specifically about carpenters and construction workers, but there are so many other trades involved in building a house. There's concrete workers, there's masons, there's electricians, there's plumbers, there's HVAC installers, roofers, siders. Yes, and security, IT, you know, people are putting very complicated systems into their house now. And there are companies, like Lee mentioned, that they do all the IT that a house has to offer. They'll set up all the systems. So there's a lot of specialties. There's so many different directions you can go. And that's just residential. In commercial, like I was saying, there's steam fitters, there's electrical commercial. There's a lot of interesting paths out there you can take.
Yeah, thank you, Lee. Appreciate it. By the way, you can join in, too, at 800-642-1234 or email at ideas@wpr.org. Chad, I want to go back to the show that you were talking about that relates a bit to what he was visiting with us about.
Absolutely. Coming up in 2 weeks, the NARI Expo is happening out at the Marriott on the west side of Madison, January 24th to the 26th. And this year, our theme is called Advancing the Craft. And other than some craft beer, which will be there, we will also have a kids' corner where kids can assemble a toolbox. And we're going to have a couple of seminars happening that specifically address career opportunities across the spectrum in our industry. And there'll be another 30-plus seminars about a variety of other topics within the industry, all of them opportunities to learn about not only the things you might do to your home, but the careers that you might mm-hmm. consider going into to help other people do it to their home. And based on that last caller and some of the comments John's been making, I just wanted to remind our listeners that the great thing about remodeling as a career is that this is something that will never be outsourced. Yeah. Like when you remodel your home, there will be humans that come yeah. and work on your home. Like there's no way around it. You might do it yourself, and there's a lot of that in our industry, and a lot of times people are shocked at how expensive it is to have professionals do that versus just doing it yourself. Mm-hmm. But that issue aside, and frankly, that issue is exacerbated by the shortage in labor for yeah. our industry. But so long as we have people that are good at doing this, they're able to come in and transform people's homes. It's an amazing thing, and you can learn a lot about it if you come out to the expo. And I wanted to mention the website. It's nariexpo.com for more information about everything, the seminars and all that. Thank you for that.
Judith in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Judith.
Hi. I wonder if your guests can talk a little bit about the paperwork part of this. If you're an independent contractor, I have a family member who does excellent work and is in great demand in any kind of remodeling, woodworking, restoration of historic properties. He's always behind in his billing. It's as though he's that's the last thing that gets his attention. And I wonder if there are some tips for how to manage that part of the job.
That's a great question, Judith. Thanks for the call. So there are some resources out there. I know that the UW Extension, the small business program, occasionally has some outreach. I know I've attended some of those over the years. You know, the remodeling associations, builders associations, a variety of other consultants out there. There's a group called Remodelers Advantage, which I'm involved in, which helps contractors do a better job running their business. There are a lot of resources out there. And I would also say that that's one of the biggest problems in our industry, perhaps other than the shortage in labor, is that there are a lot of great craftspeople out there that are really good at doing the work, but they don't really know how to run the business. And that can lead to some of those problems that some of our other callers have called in about and that, you know, homeowners sometimes complain about. And it's not that these are unethical or bad people. They're overwhelmed by the business side of what this is. So, you know, some people we find, you know, we've had some great middle-aged carpenters join our team who used to be independent business owners and kind of got tired of that racket and just want to focus on the trade. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there is a romanticism to being self-employed. It on the one hand, it can be wonderful, but there are a lot of downsides to it. And yeah.
John, do you help? Do people get help like that in your program, or
yes.
can they?
Yeah, somewhat in our program, but there also is a small business program over at Madison College, and I would say most of the tech colleges have a lot of small business things as well. And I'll definitely agree with what Chad is saying. There is often a case where someone who is a very good craftsperson and says, you know, I can go out and do this on my own, and I've seen this over and over. The company I worked for, we had a guy who did that exact thing. He went out on his own, and in 2 years, he was back. The key to it is realizing, yes, you're good at being a craftsperson, but when you start your own business, the first order of business is you have to be a business person first and a craftsperson second. And they don't realize that if you're going to run a business, you have to run the business or it will run you. So he came back and he's like, yeah, I tried that. And I think I just enjoy being a carpenter. So going off on your own is a wonderful thing, but you have to approach it with the understanding that I'm going to be a business person and I got to take care of the business or it's going to take care of me.
Let's go to Lorraine in Washburn next. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a cabin which I use in the winter as well as summer, and it's about 950 square feet, two-story cabin. And with all the storms that we're experiencing, stronger storms, our power is going out quite frequently and for long periods of time, like 35 hours. And I have electric heat, and I'm concerned about my pipes freezing. So I'm looking at trying to find an alternative heat source for when situations arise. And I'm wondering whether it's better to go with a generator that I don't live real far away from the cabin. I could go over there and start a generator, or is it better to get a propane furnace of some kind, but it would have to be without a fan because I won't have electric, or solar? And I'm just trying to figure out how to analyze this and determine what's the best route.
Okay.
Well, that's a great question. Certainly, some redundancy in having some different systems is always helpful. Because most of our work is in the Madison area, we don't have a lot of power outages here, mm-hmm. and so we don't have many clients that end up having backup generators and things like that installed in their homes, but. I have a
friend who has a home, a cabin in northern Wisconsin, and he has a generator. It's hooked up in some fashion that if the heat goes off, the generator goes on.
Right.
You can do that. There are backup systems, and that's going to be 10,000 plus or more. The backup generator kicks on and runs things. That is definitely an option. If she's close by and can buzz over, there are some smaller LP run heaters, indoor heaters, which you could use in a pinch. That's really the only thing that leaps to mind for me. You mentioned solar. Solar is possible, but that, once again, a solar system that uses battery back, that has batteries and stuff like that, is an alternative, but that is an expensive system as well, and that's probably 10 to 15 or more for that. So if she's looking for the simple solution, I think Chad's right, in a sense, just a small gas heater that's standalone, doesn't use electricity, but needs to be monitored because that also could be a fire hazard, and it also could be a CO2. And so it's something that has to be done carefully. That's tricky stuff. I know people who live up north who have a wood burner, and they'll heat their house with a wood burner. But yeah, having electric baseboard as your heat system can be problematic.
Yeah, for sure. So a few things to consider, Chad.
And, so many modern propane or natural gas heat systems have electric starters. And so you have to make sure that if you do have a system like that, it's got a battery pack that's going to be able to work when the power goes out. I wanted to mention that.
Yeah, for sure. There you go, Lorraine. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Dan in Gilman. Hi, Dan.
Yes, I wanted to comment on the square pegs and the square holes you talked about. I have four sons. They are all so much better at everything like that than I am, and I give so much of the credit to the Legos that we bought them as children.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, hell, yep, for sure.
That's probably what got me hooked.
Just don't step on them. That's the downside to it. Yeah, starting that young and early is a good thing. And that's not just boys. It could be – I actually encourage people, have your daughters play with Legos. Why not? Why is this just a boy thing? But it does. It starts that brain connection. And that is that mechanic ability I was speaking about earlier, where you can see – how things go together. But oftentimes that's as much a matter of experience. And so giving them any experience they can get in putting things together and seeing how they go together. I also recommend folks, hey, don't just take your sons out to the garage with you to build stuff. Take your daughters. Absolutely. You might be surprised. You might have two kids and your daughter might actually be more interested than your son. Always encourage that because you never know what might happen.
Yep.
Jill Nadeau, my producer, said she had Lincoln Logs and she loved them. Yeah. And she's pretty handy, actually. So she learned that. What are you working on right now? What kinds of projects, Chad, are you working on? The whole vast array?
We've got a number of bathroom renovations either in process or coming up here, and some lower-level basement remodels. We don't tend to build additions this time of year, but we've got some planned for the spring. you know, kitchen renovations, some energy retrofits, all sorts of fun stuff.
One of the things that I'm seeing on my neighborhood sort of email system that we've got for people in the neighborhood is people are so often looking for a handy man, for example, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. somebody who needed to have a banister or something put on, rails put on their steps to the basement, and they couldn't find anybody that, you know, you want that done right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Any advice on something like that?
Well, I mean, there are some great people out there, certainly. And, you know, I know for like our business and many other remodeling companies, we struggle whether or not we're going to provide those services. I have a former employee that has been out on his own doing great work in your neighborhood for many years. I won't plug him on the air, but he's a great guy. And someone reaches out to me, I would recommend him. So there are people like that. And again, going through some of the associations and Better Business Bureau and search for that, you can find some good reviews on people that do that sort of thing. There is a large demand for that sort of thing.
For this very small project, right. that you know, a normal remodeling company is not going to be able to, you know, free yeah. themselves up to do something like that.
It ties right. into the lack of workers. All the areas that people are saying, I'm having a hard time, you know, getting someone to show up. It's mm-hmm. it's all because of the lack and of workers, and supply and demand hasn't quite kicked in yet. I think you touched on it though, Larry. Oftentimes your own listserv, you know, the local community, getting on that, you'll see people, oh, I used this person, they did great. And three or four other people will say, yeah, we used them too, they really were good. Or conversely, oh, don't use them. And two other people like, oh, yeah, run for the hills, don't even look at it. You know? That can be a great source for work. And I know, like in Chad's case too, for the really good builders, most of the work is from previous clients. So in the industry, talking to people who have had work done and finding who they liked is going to be a great source.
Yeah. And once again, for Madison College, you've got a year-long program for this, right?
Yep, two semesters. We have some people do it part-time, so they'll do it across 2 years, whether they need to work as they're going along or they're taking care of kids. But if you're into it, it's a one-year diploma. You start in the fall, you finish in May, and we have graduated. In the previous years, not only have we found jobs for every single graduate who wanted one, oftentimes they were hired months before the end of the program. You know, they had a job lined up. I mean, it's crazy. And I'll have 20, 30, 40 jobs posted on the board that go unfilled. So I tell my students, I look at them as, you are in an excellent position because you are guaranteed work. And that's a pretty amazing thing. So it's a great place to be these days. I'm like, you guys are doing it right. You're guaranteed work. How many other degrees can say that right off the bat?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been a great conversation, and I want to thank you guys both very much for being with us today. I hope we have a chance to do this again.
Thanks, Larry. It's always a pleasure.
And the NARI Expo, again, January 24th through the 26th. You can find out more online about that. You know, Chad, you're back on March 12th. And just a quick disclosure, by the way, our full disclosure, we should mention that Chad's Design Build is one of our WPR Radio's many business sponsors. Well, if you'd like to hear more about our guests or our show topics, I hope you'll check out our blog at WPR.org/Larry. And you can always listen to our old shows at WPR.org/Larry as well. We have shows going back years and years. Thanks for listening. Stay with us.
Can America and Iran pull themselves back from the brink? The president says he acted to stop a war, not start one. And our military might give Donald Trump the advantage. But is this a fight that can be won on a battlefield? I'm Todd Zwillick. The latest from here and from the Middle East, that's next time on 1A from WAMU and NPR.
Today at 1 on the Ideas Network.